birth the church. We've been dealing with the Holy Spirit. Because if at any time in history the church needs the Holy Spirit, and the church always needs the Holy Spirit, but it seems that right now in the dispensation that we're living in, this time that we're living in, we can't do without it. The church is in desperate need of an infilling of the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ is carrying all the earmarks of just being pushed to the curb, cast aside. There are a lot of things that are happening in this nation. There are a lot of things that are happening worldwide and that are really consummating in the return of Christ. A lot of signs. A lot of things seems evident. If you have your ear close to the rim of the Spirit, you will hear that there is a lot of end-time teaching. A lot of last day conversation. A lot of the soon return of the King. Nobody knows when. Nobody knows the day, the hour. But as you look around you, Scripture does allow signs. And that's what we're seeing. We've been talking about the early church just to try to find out where are we supposed to be? Because if that is the early church that we've been studying in the book of Acts, then the church should be grown up or growing up or mature to that place where we are right now. A lot of the things that have come into the church that has weakened the body. I want to say this. The church is a strong entity. And I found out that the church can't be hurt from the outside. Church can't be hurt from the outside. Church can be hurt from the inside, though. That's where the church gets its pains. Most often it's from the inside. You know the deal. Sometimes people get dissatisfied, and it is hard to please all the people all the time. People get dissatisfied in the building. People get jealous in the building. People get filled with strife in the building. People get selfish in the building. People get prideful in the building. It's in the body that we have the problem, and that's what causes a body to stumble. It's what happens inside. And as you read scriptures, you'll find out that a lot of the hurt from the church came from the inside. Didn't normally come from the outside. From the outside, the church seems indestructible. There are attacks, but the church seems indestructible. Let's read something in Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you there? Stand if you can. Now, as they were speaking to the people, I may read a lot of the Bible today because faith comes by hearing. And every now and then, sometimes I don't want to preach. I don't get up here and just read to you. Can I do that one of these Sundays? I just want to read to you because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I might be hindering your faith. I said it. Yeah. Now, as they were speaking to the people, the priests, the commander of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them because they were provoked that they were teaching the people and proclaiming the resurrection from the dead using Jesus as the example. So they seized them and put them in custody until the next day. Since it was already evening, But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Read that again. It says it came that a number of the men. That does not include women and some young adults. It's safe to say that maybe 8,000-9,000 believed. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they asked the question, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it." When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in response. After they had ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men? For an obvious sign, evident to all who live in Jerusalem, has been done through them, and we cannot deny it." Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise, and we thank you as you speak to us. Enliven our understanding. Open our hearts that we may receive. In Jesus' name, amen. The challenges we face, facing challenges. The uproar is this. The same uproar that occurs then occurs now. Since September 11, 2001, the world has gone through a tremendous face change. Everything has changed. The way we approach one another has changed. The way people live has changed. Things were slowly transitioning before 9/11. But since 9/11, there's been an elevated thrust at the occurrence of our culture's future shock. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the future shock of an entire culture of people. Criminal malice has risen to epidemic stages. Malice. Malice is when a people or a person gets enjoyment out of somebody else's pain. They have no problem seeing people hurt. It makes murder just that much easier because they are blind to suffering. We have a lot of that going on in our generation. Dishonesty among the highly respected government officials, social servants, political aficionados, even parents, all seem to have only their personal interests at heart. Everywhere you look, it seems that the people that should be respectful are the people who are committing the most heinous crimes. If they're not killing, they're stealing. it seems that, that there's a darkness that has been unleashed on the entire world, because the things that we see are not just happening in our parameter of the United States. Worldwide mishap, wars, rebellion. Muammar Gaddafi had an uprising because he had been in control for so many years. People got fed up with him. It began in Egypt when the Egyptians rose up. I believe it started even before then, because I believe that it started years and years ago, but because of 9/11, things have been thrust faster. I remember where they were in Tiananmen Square, and this Chinese stood in front of a tank. They thought it was such a wonderful photo, they voted it with a prize, because he stood there facing a tank like this. And it was because the oppressed were tired of the oppressor. Same thing in Egypt, the same thing in Libya, and the same thing is happening there in Syria, where President Assad was killing innocent people by the droves. It was just in his heart to just massacre as many people, children, men, women, as many as he could. And now a rebellion has taken place, and now the rebellion has taken its course against the president, where just this past week, they seem to use the weapon of choice now is suicide bombing. I don't need a gun. I don't need a weapon. I'll just trap myself in with incendiary devices and go in and act normal. And in his duty, he went to one of President Assad's high-ranking meetings and blew up the place, killing some of his high-ranking officers, which made Assad begin to wonder how close is the rebellion. They have been nonstop fighting in Syria for the last month and a half, every single day. So there's wars all over the world. There's the Sudan massacre that is happening over in Sudan because of the Christians. They are being murdered by the droves. War everywhere. Everything now seems to be escalated since 9/11. Everything is moving at a faster pace. Hatred moving at a faster pace. People not sensitive to murder as they used to be. People don't blush, as Jeremiah says. They don't blush like they used to. They don't count it a bad thing. Everything is moving faster. Housing prices are through the roof. And the outpouring of homeless people can't seem to find a roof. Our presidential aspirants are not immune to mudslinging and lack of integrity. So it's all the way at the top and all the way at the bottom. At the top, you have presidential leaders. At the bottom, you have insurgents who are determined not to be oppressed by the oppressor. Daily news. All you have to do is open your newspaper. All you have to do is cut on your news on television, and they'll give you a mouthful. Before you can even gather your senses, they've already told you how many wars are being fought, how many lives are being wasted. You'll hear them say that 2 weeks ago, two 10-year-old cousins got kidnapped riding bicycles, and nobody's seen them since. Hadn't seen them. They'll tell you that a mother went on a hiking excursion and nobody saw her. But they found her strangled and stabbed, put in a trash can. There is something that is among us that if we as the church don't start paying attention and being more concerned about what we're able to do about this fast-moving epidemic if we would just learn what we need to at least put a hold on what's going on. Well, we find that there's not a whole lot we can do because we are not filled with the power to bring a halt to all of this. Have to be filled. The church of Jesus Christ has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one power in this earth that overrides every power that man avails himself to. It's the Holy Spirit. His power, his dunamis, his dynamite. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the ability to do the things that in our own selves, we can't do it. You found out that all these things are happening. As of late, not even a movie theater couldn't be considered a peaceful sanctuary. Where is it safe? You can't go to the mall. You can't go out at night and shop without looking over your shoulder. You can't. There are certain areas and certain cities that when you enter into that city, you can actually feel the darkness. And something inside of you says, don't stop, get out of here. Oh, yeah. You can sense the darkness. You know you shouldn't be there. So many challenges, so many. And the church now, as the church was then, face challenges. We face them right now. We are faced with so many challenges because our hands are filled with things to do. And it seems like our hands are filled with so many different things to do. There's hardly enough time to be equipped spiritually. How can I remain spiritual when I have this on my hands, when I have that to take care of, when I have this in my family, when I have that on my job, when I have this financial difficulty, when the economic situation for all of us seems bleak, seems like my 401k, every time Wall Street is mentioned, I'm losing. How would you like to invest everything that you have into a banking system and that bank robs you? It has happened. It has happened. Banks are closing because the president and all of his cronies participated in theft and robbery. So they're closing banks because of the loss of integrity from those who own these places. Challenge, what a challenge. We're challenged every day. We're challenged by jobs that are closing down. Every day we're facing situations where jobs are here today, gone tomorrow. People go to the job to get in and they see a sign say closed without even having a clue that they were going to do it. They're shutting them down. What do we do? Peter and the rest of those who stood in the face of adversity at that time faced the same situation that we're facing. And even though these things were occurring, I love the fortitude that they displayed because they did not allow themselves to be caught up with what was going on the outer perimeter. They were more concerned about what was going on the inside of them. Because if it was anything that was going to stem the tide of the things that happened around it, it would have to be the promise that Jesus made to them that if you would but wait, you will be endued with power. Because God knows that this world can get out of hand. And the only way we keep this world in any kind of control is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit being loosed on men and women. Only the Holy Spirit can change a liar. Only the Holy Spirit can change a cheat, a murderer, a robber. Only the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul was, he would tell you, I was the chiefest of sinners. Paul said, I was at the top of the line. And he'll tell you and testify how his desire was to kill the church. But on a bright day, right there where King Assad, President Assad, and the rest of Syria is battling right now over Damascus. Right there, the Holy Spirit's power bamboozled Paul into looking up and saying, who art thou, Lord? Knocked him off his horse and changed his life. The Holy Spirit changed his life. Changed his life. You have to understand that here is a man who stood on the other side of a man, and these two gentlemen, these individuals, probably represent two of the greatest men of the New Testament, Stephen and Saul of Tarsus. And here is Stephen filled with the Holy Spirit, suffering for the church, standing up and testifying for Jesus Christ to the point that he was so glorified that they said that Stephen had the appearance and face of an angel. The glory was all over him. And as he stood there talking and eloquating on the gospel, I can see Saul of Tarsus biting his lip, walking back and forth, wondering, what kind of man is this? I wonder if he can stand a stone or two. Saul reeking with angriness and angst, and he hated Christians. He was so filled with it that when they began to stone Stephen, all he did was hold the coats and gave the order. Two of the greatest individuals in the New Testament church standing face to face. God, you have to see. And they stoned Stephen, and Stephen was not flinching. He stood there and said, I see the Lord standing. Very rare you hear the voice say that the Lord is standing. He's mostly seated. But Stephen said, I saw the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. And Stephen, even standing there taking the stonings, was so glorified in his face. Paul was upset. Saul of Tarsus then so upset, he probably said, stone him harder. And after they had covered Stephen and killed him, he picked up the coats and walked away. But there's purpose in Saul being there. Because when Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, knocked him off that horse, I'm pretty sure Stephen came to his mind. Is that who that Stephen was talking about? This who he was talking about? And see, in a moment's time, when you are in the grip of seemingly death, they say thoughts come quickly. Your life, everything comes quickly. I'm pretty sure he was standing there thinking, when he said, who art thou, Lord? He borrowed words from Stephen. Stephen called him Lord, so? Who art thou, Lord? Can't see. I can't see. I heard your voice, but I can't see. Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Why kickest thou against the pricks? Why are you trying to beat up against this system that I'm bringing? I'm raising up a church. Why are you trying to stop? Let me tell you something. Man can't stop what Jesus is starting. No. You can't stop what God is starting. God is starting something. It's amazing how he starts things. He starts something new all the time. When he starts something new, there's always something that happens when he starts it. You understand? See, when God started this new thing with the church, he already had it all figured out. Same way he had it figured out for Joshua when he crossed over. He had it planned for Joshua. Same way. Same way he had it for Moses when he told him, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God had a plan already. He has a plan already in the book of Acts. This is something new. And I'm not going to let a man stop me. So he straightens Paul out and tells him, go into the city called Straight. Meet Ananias. When you talk to him, you'll receive your sight. All of that happened. All of that occurred. But right now, in this fourth chapter of Acts, we see Peter, and they have just come through a climactic situation. They had a miracle. What is the miracle? A man had been laid at the gate every day for 40 years. 40 years? People been making money off him for 40 years? His family? Go get the money. We'll come get you at the end of the day. So they carry him every day and drop him in front of the church. Church was rich. Church was prosperous. The temple was. Because it was a gate called Beautiful. At the temple, gate called Beautiful because of the gate had a golden appearance, which was really bronze. But it spoke of prosperity. It is called also the Eastern Gate. So everybody's trafficking through. And so they traffic through one day and they find this young man who's now about 40 years old, still begging after 40 years. Shows you, as we said last week, the power wasn't in the church as it is now. Problem we have in the church today, we don't have no power. We have a lot of entertainment. We got a whole lot of prophesying. We got a whole lot of dignities. Got a whole lot of titles. But we don't have power. See, power exists in a church when a church becomes unified in the faith. The anointing is not going to rest just on me when God sends the power to the house. The power is going to run from the front to the back so that as we agree, then we'll see the healed walk, the lame walk, the healed delivered, blinded eyes open. We all have to get on one page first. Everybody in here have a spiritual gift or giftings. But until we get on one page, they just won't function the way that God wants them to. And so at this time, the church is in a place of purity. They're holy. They believe God. They're obedient. They're walking in power. And so Peter and John come by and they speak to him and tell him in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That causes a stir, just as it does now. Use the name of Jesus on your job. Use the name of Jesus in your school. Use the name of Jesus at a football game. At a prayer breakfast for governmental officials, they'll say, don't pray in Jesus' name. Just pray. But don't pray in Jesus' name. Because we want everybody to be happy. We want everybody to be happy. We don't want anybody to be offended. But if you understand the name of Jesus, you know it's going to offend somebody. You might as well go on use just in case. If you're going to offend somebody, use it anyhow. I'm going to use it anyhow. Some people get into these little sessions and these groupings and they become politically correct and they feel like it's not right to use Jesus' name as if Jesus is not the Savior of the world. They say somebody else is. And all these others who are supposed to be, I don't hear anything about them. I don't hear what they've accomplished. I don't hear what they're doing. I don't hear about them shedding love amongst men and women. I don't hear the captive set free in these names that they are allowing. And in none of those names can you be saved. Because the writer said there's only one name given among men where you must be saved, where you must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. And so they used this name of Jesus, and it brought on the ire of the religious folk. First of all, Annas and Caiaphas and the rest of these guys, they're the ones who promoted the crucifixion. They thought that this was a done deal. We've already killed Jesus. We don't want no more talk about Jesus. He's dead and done. But a dead Jesus can still raise the dead. Because he left a name that the Holy Spirit anointed with power. And when Peter said, in the name of Jesus, that lame man been lame for 40 years, jumped up running, leaping, rejoicing, ran in the church. And the Bible says in this fourth chapter that he's still holding on to Peter and John. He still haven't let them go yet. Power. And so the religious folk got awakened. And they start talking. Because if one of the first things they understand, see, these Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, the Sanhedrin. It's the whole order. Sanhedrin. And the Pharisees themselves, they don't believe in resurrection. So, you know, they fired up. They don't understand this. Now, the Sanhedrin, as according to the law in Deuteronomy 13, they are supposed to check out Peter and John. That's their job. Deuteronomy 13 says that if somebody come in prophesying and preaching, check them out. They might be false prophets. If they are, cast them out. So they're doing what is lawful. But there's nowhere in Deuteronomy 13 that it says arrest them. So this is what they do. They arrest Peter and John. Can't find nothing wrong. They say, well, why are you doing all this? Let me ask you a question, they say. Where you get this power? See, they question them now when they find out their teaching, their doctrine. Where did you get this power? See, that's what they need to start asking the church that we live in. Where did you get this power? They will never ask us that if we're not doing things that power is required of. That we're not doing what we ought to be doing with the power that we do have. And you do have power. Says that when Peter began to speak, he said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the second time. Acts 2 and 4 said that when they were in the house, that this power came and they were all filled. So he's filled then, but he has another filling. He has another infilling. That shows you. See, baptism and infilling are two different things. When you get baptized in the body, it's called being baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's baptism into the body. You become converted and become a part of the body of Christ. But an infilling is something you have to do all the time. Ephesians 5:18 says, be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Supposed to be all the time. You have to continually be filled. You read Acts 4:31, you find out that they were doing something else, and the Bible says, and they were all filled. Filled again. At the end of the day, they got filled in the morning, the day before, 2 days before, they got filled. Here's Peter preaching again, he gets filled again. And at the end of the day, before the day is over, listen to what I'm saying. If you get filled this morning, expect another infilling tonight. Okay, I'm filled this morning, and I've done the things that I needed to do according to the will of the Lord. Now, Lord, fill me before I go to sleep. How did they get this power? They prayed. They prayed and believed God. See, we can't just pray. You have to pray and believe God. Praying is not enough. Don't let nobody fool you. Pray till you hear something break. Pray till you hear something blow up. Pray till you hear a crackling sound in the spirit realm. Pray until you're tired. Don't just pray and say, I've done my duty. Pray and believe God. It is the hand and the power of God that's on Peter and John. It's on those who have come to be recipients of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. 3,000, then 5,000. 5,000 may have been 8,000, 9,000. But they're filled. Their church is changing. Everything is happening. And it's happening for a reason, because they have challenges that they face. It takes an anointing of the Holy Spirit to deal with the challenges that we face. We are faced on every hand, from every side, and every part of the globe with challenges. You name them, we're facing them. The family is becoming more and more raggled and straggled apart. What God has set up to mean family, we have set up to mean just associates. They don't care if there's a mother in the house, a father in the house, two mothers or two fathers. That's not God's plan. Everything raveling apart, falling apart. Children are left to grow up on their own. Children having children. Where's the wisdom in that? How can you raise a child when you haven't been raised right yet yourself? So you have a generation of children who don't even understand obedience. They understand the rebellistic nature because it's naturally in them to be rebels. They identify with that. That's easy for me. It's easy for me to disobey. It's in me to disobey. I'm bent on natural disobedience. I'm a child of disobedience. See, you don't have to train a child to lie. You don't have to train a child to steal or kill or cheat. It's in them already. You tell them, don't eat the cookies. You turn your back and you come back and you say, have you been eating the cookies? And they will tell you with crumbs all over their face. I mean, no cookies. Mouth full of cookies. I mean, no cookies. I'm not eating none. The natural bent is for them to disobey. That's why the Bible says train up a child in the way that they ought to go. They should go. They have to be trained. We live in a society now that tells you don't even put your hand on your children. If you put your hand on your children, I'm going to report you. I'm taking you to jail. And even the children are calling 911. Creflo's daughter called 911 because he wouldn't let her go to a party. I don't know what Creflo did. I don't understand Creflo's dealing, but I dare say that Creflo did what 75% of the parents in this nation would have done. Say amen to that. Amen. I don't care what teen you are, you're still a teen. I don't care if you're 13 or 19. You still ought to be in subjection to your parents. They have God over your life. They know what's best for you. They've been where you're going. You haven't been there yet. And because you can't have your way, you're going to talk sassy. So, and the police come and take you away for raising your children. You're not a hater. You don't beat your children out of anger and angst. You do what you think to keep them in line with what you've been teaching. The whipping is basically a last resort. I'm going to whip you for that. It's not the first thing on your mind. The first thing on your mind is, let's sit down and talk about this. What's your problem? wanting to go to somebody's party, 1 o'clock in the morning, here you 15 years old. Are you crazy? The first thing I want to know, I got to go back to sleep and wake up because I know this got to be a dream. Must be a dream here. Here's a man can't even preach the gospel in peace. See? So we are faced with challenges every day. Challenges, challenges. In the church, out the church, we need power. We need power to deal with these situations. You go somewhere and just because you say you saved, here come the attack. Starts with a question. And if you can't answer it properly, here comes an avalanche of questions. Then they'll tell you, I can't believe the Bible because the Bible written by men. And that's true. See, but we have to be equipped enough to understand and agree with the adversary why we're in the way and still have an answer for them. And as we say, yes, they were written by men. Yes, yep, 40 different men over 4,000 years apart, all of them together. Can't be sitting down talking about the same thing and end up writing the same thing. 40 different men. No, they had to be inspired by the Holy Ghost. It had to be the Holy Spirit that will infiltrate their being and write through them God's plan for man. But in our dilemma, in our battle, when we face challenges. See, I like to use the term challenges because in the beginning of the 21st century, we would always use this term, I'm going through. How you doing? Well, I'm going through. Going through what? You know what I'm going through. Stuff. I'm going through stuff. See, in the beginning of the 21st century, it was I'm going through and I'm having drama. It was drama and going through. Drama is what you just tell everybody. Whoever's listening. You can go anywhere and tell drama. Just anywhere. You can just let it go. And whoever wants to listen to you, you'll pour out your drama. Lord, child, I'm going through with my mama. I'm going through with my baby. I'm going through with my daddy's baby. I am going through some stuff. Drama. And this is in the church. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on outside the church, but in the church, should not be. Should be enough anointing in the church to defeat that devil. See, it's when we come together that the victory is in store. When we come together and defeat the enemy, shake the victory flag in his face, tell him, get out of here. But then I've realized that it's basically challenges. We face different challenges every day. I have to deal with my own transgressions. See, I know where I'm weak. And so sometimes my weakness is challenged because I understand that I have an enemy who walks about seeking whom he may devour. He walks about as a roaring lion, and he is just after me. And what he does is send out his workers to find out where am I weak. They already have a list of where I'm weak because I used to belong to him. See, the list of your doings and your deeds are in the hands of Satan. Even though you're saved, Satan still got the rap sheet on you. Good God Almighty. We think because we got saved, we got completely away from Satan and his imps. No, you have not, because you're still carrying a sin nature. And the sin nature is just like a magnet to the devil. It draws him to you. He knows where you're weak. He knows what you fall prey to. He knows where you fall short. He knows what you like and what you dislike. He knows you like a short skirt. He knows that. He wouldn't bring a full-dressed woman to you if it cost him his life. He'll bring you somebody that looks just like the weakness in you. That's why we don't understand it. He doesn't bring you something that you don't want. He brings you something that's related to your emotions, innate to your sinful nature. He'll bring you something that he knows used to have you by the nose. So we don't mess around with the power. Because sometimes we're messing too much around with the sinful nature. The strength of the sinful nature is something, because a weak spot is all he needs. See, all he wants you to do is act weak. I know your weakness. I know what gets you, as they say now, they use another word, but I'm going to say ticked off. I know y'all say something else. I'm going to say ticked off, y'all. And somebody smart say, but Pastor, it's in the Bible. It is, but I'm not going to say it. And so we get ticked off. And that ticked off displays our weakness. And we don't understand it. Like I said, the sinful nature is like a magnet. It draws him to you. That's why when Jesus was talking about him, Jesus said, the prince of this world coming, but he has nothing in me. There was no magnetism in Jesus that would attract Satan. The only thing that attracted Jesus, Satan about Jesus, was his purity. He was so busy trying to find out if you be the Son of God. If you are, if you be him. But we're not like that. We have a sinful nature to deal with. That just because you saved, it didn't mean that the sinful nature left you. It's in you. And you have to do something about keeping it pressed down and not allowing it to have its way in you. That's why the Word of God is so important. You have to have the Word of God in you to press that thing down. Keep you from losing it. Keep you from falling short. Keep you from pulling on the old man. The Word of God keeps you from doing that. So, Peter begins to spew out the Word of God. He told them, you killed the Prince of Life. Y'all killed him. He who was the chief cornerstone, you builders rejected him. He began to tell them everything about their lifestyles and how they took advantage of Jesus. And Peter was in essence telling them, what you see now is just the role of what his death has accomplished. It is because of his death that this church is coming forth. The church is rising. People know what they should be doing. And they are coming together forcefully, being a force in that land, being a force in that city. Where even those in the religious sect, they don't know how to handle it. They arrest Peter and John, but they got to let them go. Can't hurt the church from the outside. Got to do it from the inside. That's the only way Judas got away with what he did. He did it from the inside. But even he was in God's hand. Even Judas is in God's hand. So, what we have is a generation that we live in where we must learn how to face our challenges. I want to say to you that facing your challenges is going to have to come with submission. Submission to the ways of God. What we are seeing in our nation is in epidemic proportions. Everything is. The Lord told us that everything has to be heightened. That's what the Lord said. I did not know it was like the things that we see now would be heightened as they are. I had no idea, no clue. I just knew that there would be satanic heightening. I listened, I told my wife, I listened to Benny Hinn the other night, and I listened. But he was prophesying. And right in the middle, he was praying over Mark Sharona. And in the middle, right in the middle of it, he stopped. He said, wait, I see something. He said, something is about to happen in this nation. He said, in one of the cities in this nation, I don't know which one it is. He said, but it's not a 9/11 attack. It's nothing like that. But it's something horrific that's about to happen. He said that at 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock. They said that this thing in Colorado takes off. Just boom. You see, say what you want about men and women of God. God still speaks through them. Don't be fooled. God speak through an alcoholic. He'll speak through a child. God will say what he has to say. And so he, when he said that, I said, wow. And it got real quiet. You know, when you say doom and gloom, people don't talk. People don't say hallelujah. You might hear one clap. That's all you hear. Because at that point, God gets your attention. See, it ain't time to shout. It ain't time to hallelujah. It's time to pray. And so when he finished, I said, wow. And 2 hours later, the news just flashes that this guy just went ballistic. You see, the scripture is right. When the enemy takes control of a vessel, he has total control. He can tell a human being to do anything he wants to do. If you are not filled, if you have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost, if you haven't been converted, he can possess you. He can't live in the same house with the Holy Ghost. But a person that's converted, that hasn't been filled, he's clean, but he hasn't put anything on the inside. Jesus spoke of that. He said that he comes in and brings back seven more, worse than the ones that were there before he cleaned the house. So he's able to speak to an unconverted soul and give instructions. Now, I dare say that the enemy actually had this young man for a while. Anytime you got time to order 6,000 rounds on the internet, see how time is flying so fast? Now you can order ammunition online. 6,000 rounds? Doesn't anybody scratch their head when somebody ordered that? And you mean to tell me you're not in the Middle East? 6,000 rounds, and where do you live? Denver? On the other end of the line, I will be asking, what's going on in Denver? Nope, they just ship it right to him. The devil is just talking. Go and do this, do this, do that, do that, do this. And everything the devil told him was working. Just do everything. Just do what I tell you. I don't know what his story is. I don't know. Nobody picked on him. He wasn't bullied. He's a genius almost. He's highly intelligent. He's at the top of the field. He graduates from UC Irvine with honors. What? So he goes out and buys all the clothes. He buys the canisters. Where do you get the canisters? I mean, you're taking this stuff to a home, a house, an apartment. Canisters. An assault rifle. They need to do something about these gun laws. A man can order an assault rifle. You're talking about 74 people. I told my wife they left the people in the movie theater simply because they were probably shot at close range. Can't take them out. Got to let them stay and be identified. That is hate and evil at its highest level. And I want to say to you, this nation is full of it. Nation is full of it. So I say to you, as you face your challenges, you're not only facing your challenges, you're facing your neighbor's challenges. Because everybody's feeling the same hurt, feeling the same pain, observing the same situations. The church needs to be a mark in the midst of all of this that we're going through, where we take a decided stand to do what God has called us to do. You mean to tell me, Pastor, you said that we need to be witnesses in a hostile environment? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. You have to, and more than anything else, you got to learn how to deal in a hostile environment. Because they speak evil of you, Jesus said, pray for them. Pray for them if they speak evil of you. Pray for those who persecute you, despitefully use you. Matthew 5, he tells us, love your haters. We still have to carry something with us that'll cause people to want to come over here and find out what it's all about. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. The name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Put it on your lips. Just start using it. Get it down in your spirit. The name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, show me which way to go. Holy Spirit, show me how to respond. That's what we need. Okay? I say to you today, I know you got challenges, I got challenges, but we can face these challenges together. We'll go through this together. Trusting in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to say this before we close. There are some people who are going to say this to you. They will say that, okay, you're talking about, Pastor, you got to pray with all this stuff going on. But some people will say to you that prayer shows a neglect of responsibility. And I would say, no, it does not. No, I would say that our response to God in his ability is where we should be. Because if you notice, this is out of man's hands. Man can't stop this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're dealing with wickedness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're dealing with. You're dealing with spiritual wickedness. That's what we're dealing with. And it behooves us. You better start recognizing the devil. Don't let him fool you. He's good at what he does. He's good at disguising himself. He's real good at disguising himself. Anybody who can turn from an angel to a lizard to a serpent to a snake to a... He's good. To an angel of light. He's good at what he does. And so, I want to encourage you, beloved. Let's pray. Let's become more prayerful. Pray. Constantly ask the Lord. Lord, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't witness. I can't without the Holy Spirit. Can we pray and believe God that He'll change us? That we can become effective? Hallelujah. I don't want to be just busy. I want to be effective. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank You. Even as we